Come, Holy Spirit, as you hovered over Jesus in his baptism and came upon him in full, revealing him as the Son of God, so bring us to the feet of Christ, that we might know him as the Son of God, our Savior, and see him revealed to others as well. Amen. Please be seated. Well, happy Epiphany to you. Oh, y'all are quiet. Come on. The music's too good this morning to be quiet. Happy Epiphany to you. There we go. I want to begin this morning with a question. Where do you imagine might be some of the lowest points of elevation on planet Earth? Wow. Did not think of that one. We're going to go with above the sea, not below it. She said Meridian Trench for those of you who could. That's one I didn't anticipate. So my mind went to, I appreciate the participation though, that was good. My mind went to the Grand Canyon. And I thought, surely that's got to be like one of the lowest points, right? Actually, Phantom Ranch in the Grand Canyon is still above sea level. Isn't that strange? It's actually still above sea level. Badwater Basin in Death Valley is the lowest point in North America. That's 282 feet below sea level. Not bad. But actually, the lowest point in the world is the one where Jesus was baptized. The Dead Sea is the lowest place on planet Earth. If you've been to Israel, you probably know that better than I do. And the Jordan, where Jesus was baptized, is just north of that. So the first thing I want you to see this morning, look at the ends to which our God goes. Jesus was baptized by the baptizer at the world's lowest point. That is an incredible picture. Sometimes maps will show you incredible truths, won't they? And this is one of them. This is one of them where seeing where he was baptized shows us the meaning of what's happening. Let's take a moment to talk about the River Jordan itself, this place where Jesus was baptized. In Scripture, the Jordan is a place of extraordinary miracle matched by extraordinary humility. One of the great instances of this, and this actually points forward to Jesus and his baptism and holy baptism. This is the place where in 2 Kings 5, Naaman the Syrian realizes that what? He can't buy his healing from the God of Israel. Instead, the prophet Elisha tells him that he has to go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, right? And he balks at this. He points out, aren't there better rivers in Damascus that I could wash in rather than the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them? And Scripture says that what? He turned away from the prophet's word in a rage. His servants prevail on Naaman, though, and they say this to them. They say, my father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he not actually said to you, wash and be clean? And so Naaman, he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God. And what happens? His flesh is restored, Scripture says, like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. An extraordinary word of humility from the prophet, followed by an extraordinary miracle of grace from God. Not only is the Jordan a place of humility, though, it's also a place of transition, and we're going to see that this morning. For instance, it was here that Israel crossed into the Promised Land under the leadership of Joshua. But now, bigger than all that, comes a bigger transition and an even greater moment of humility. Jesus, our Lord, is going to move from obscurity to being openly manifest to the world. That's Epiphany in a nutshell. So the Jordan is incredibly significant as a place. But what's even more significant is the one who comes there, Jesus. Today we want to look at this moment of transition and humility in 3 ways. We want to look at what it means for Jesus and about Jesus, what it means for us, and what it means for our church. So let me make sure you're with us. We got the 3 points, for, and for our church. All right, good, you're with me. So first, for Jesus. Look at verse 7. John tells us here that he is unworthy even to untie Jesus' sandal strap. Now, John may be referencing a rabbinic saying here. It was said that every service which a slave renders for his master shall a disciple do for his teacher except the loosing of his sandal. That was too much, I guess. But John says what? He says, I'm unworthy even to do this. So John's words demonstrate his own humility, but then also the greatness of Christ's identity. Behold our God, right? His greatness in comparison to John himself. So naturally then, we know from the Gospel of Matthew that John the Baptizer also asks the question that many of us may be thinking this morning. Why does Jesus need this baptism, right? That's the question that's constantly asked. Well, the answer is that he was baptized on our behalf, right? He gets into the waters to get next to you, to get next to us. He stands in our place. Jesus steps into our place that we, listen, might step into his. So that the relationship that he has to the Father, the Beloved, might become ours. Isn't that incredible? This is, as we sung earlier, this is the great exchange of the gospel. Christ in our place, us in his, by faith in his work for us. Thanks be to God. You know, I want to say, I don't know where everyone is coming from here this morning. I see some new faces, and so maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you don't believe that God is willing to receive you. Well, listen, Jesus' baptism, his humility, his standing in your place in the River Jordan this morning is the proof that when we are at our lowest, when we are most aware of the darkness that's in us and around us, our God will come to us, he will meet us, and he will receive us. In fact, he is willing this morning to say, you are my beloved son or daughter through Christ. That's good news. All this he proved at the world's lowest point. Amen? At Christmas, we saw Jesus' mighty leap down into human history. But friends, that was only the first step. Isn't it a silent sermon this morning that here at his baptism, Jesus goes to literally the utmost, the lowest point on earth. He couldn't have made a greater point. Here, the one who is the rightful Son of the Father steps forward to bear our cross. We already sang that this morning. He receives a baptism of repentance. Again, not because he needs it, but because he will become the remedy for the sin that made it necessary. Thanks be to God. Again, he hears these words. He hears, you are my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. He hears that so that we can hear the same words. Think of it like this. In his baptism, the only natural born son of God makes it possible for us to become adopted, baptized, blood bought sons and daughters. Amen? Thanks be to God. So then we transition and we look at what it means for us. First of all, Jesus' baptism is a moment for those of us who have already been baptized to love and remember our baptism, to cherish it, and to trust and believe anew the promises that God gives us there. Now, I want to say this carefully, but for each of us, the font is the place where our story in Christ begins publicly. I say that carefully because I don't want to say that if you've not yet been baptized, God's not at work in your life. That's not what I'm saying. But it is the place where our life in Christ begins publicly. It doesn't end there, for sure. It doesn't end there, but it does begin there. That's why baptism is not a private act. That's why baptism is in our prayer book, right? Because it's bringing us in to the life of God's family. You can say it this way. We step forward in our baptism, or we're brought forward, and we're revealed to be in Christ there. It's interesting. Water itself has properties unlike anything else in the world. If you did not have access to water, if you heard about something like water and you didn't have access to water, you would probably pay anything to get it, right? Like, imagine if you did not have water. Like, I know that's really hard for us to think about. But imagine if you didn't have it and you heard about it. You'd be like, oh my goodness, I have to get a hold of water. It's the most amazing thing, right? For instance, unlike other liquids, water freezes from the top to the bottom. And that's the reason why aquatic life can survive in cold climates, because it freezes from the top to the bottom. BBC has an idea video series, and they describe water as, I'm just quoting from the video here, really, really weird. That's how they describe water. Here's a quote from the video. Water breaks so many rules of chemistry that scientists struggle to understand it. Isn't that interesting? This humble means that God chooses. The point here is not to say that water is somehow magical, right? But rather to marvel at the way that God chooses this humble yet exceptional means to give his blessings, to give us the assurance of his forgiveness, the indwelling of his Holy Spirit, union with Christ in his death and resurrection, and a home in his church. All this is yours. He, the God who chose the lowest point on the planet to reveal his son, loves, listen, he loves to choose humble means of grace. So if you are here today and you are baptized, you ought to say daily with great faith in Christ, with great thanksgiving, not that I was baptized a long, long time ago at such and such a place, but what? That I am baptized. Thanks be to God. Amen. There's a big difference there. Now, I'll not say the unbaptized, but I'll say the yet to be baptized, put it that way. If this is true, then why delay? Christ isn't waiting for you to be good enough to be baptized. Are you getting the picture? That's not what it's about. It's about coming to him and taking him at his word. Bishop John Hopkins, writing in the 19th century, said that when it comes to baptism, it shall be done to us according to our faith. Here's what he means by that. What he means is sometimes we get as good as we are willing to ask. And God has told us to ask. Amen? Jesus' baptism in the Jordan is the proof again of his willingness to receive us. So the font of grace is open. The invitation is open. He's told you to come trusting Jesus to meet you there. And here's the good news. This coming Transfiguration Sunday, February 11th, we are going to have baptisms. It's going to be a celebration. And listen, there's still time. There's still time. Listen, if you know you believe and trust in Jesus, you know that he's calling you to himself, then come. Then come. Come to the font of grace and have the assurance he wants you to have there. It's not a matter, a lot of times we get caught up in, do I have to do this? Listen, you get to do this, right? So come and get wet. That's all I could say. All right, lastly, for our church, for Holy Cross, I want us to take a moment to reflect on where we're at as a congregation. And in your mind's eye, I want you to picture us as the people of God, as a congregation, standing with Jesus on the banks of the Jordan as his ministry is about to be launched. Think of where we've come from and where we need to go. Because the beginning of this year, the beginning of the new year is always what? A moment of transition. It's a transition for Christ's church. And here's what I want you to pray around. I have some specific things I'd like you to be praying around and to be listening for. The first is just following Christ personally in this new year. We all do pretty much the same thing every new year. We make resolutions, we keep them for 3 days, and then we break them, and then we're like, well, I'll just go on with my year. Right? And what I want to encourage you to do is think of it in terms of a rule of life versus resolutions. How is God calling you to serve him and others in Christ in every sphere of life. I was privileged recently to go through this with some of you recently here at the church. And if what I'm saying means, you know, it's absolutely confusing to you, I want to invite you to come. I might have some good resources for you that might help you shape your life in this new year as we move forward with Christ. Secondly, I want us to pray around fresh evangelistic zeal for the people of Gwinnett and Walton counties and beyond. I want you to know that with Michael's blessing, I'm excited to be tackling investing in hands-on community outreach. And by the way, so are Deacons Craig and Jeremy. We've been given our oars, and we need co-laborers to come along with us. So if you're interested in that, please reach out to one of us. There's a lot of community outreach that's going to be going on in 2024. Praise God. And then the last thing is just, I want you to keep an open ear, to keep listening on our commitments as a body this year beyond community outreach. What ministries is he calling us to in this new year? What ministries is he calling you to? Now, that's a place for our dean to speak into, and I want you to keep an open and listening ear about that as our year continues. There's more to come. There's more to come. I want to close this morning by returning to Christ's baptism. This is from author David Roseberry. Listen to what he says. At the baptism of Jesus, realize that you, too, are standing in a holy place, surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, all of whom eagerly point to the principal figure of the entire world, Jesus. Jesus is the main character in the amazingly true story of God's plan for the redemption of the world. After he's baptized, the public work begins. Listen, our work this year begins too, right? Not in our own strength, not in our own way, but in humility, in and through Jesus, right? So to our baptized Lord, be all the glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen, and thanks be to God.